Welcome to the Village Church Podcast. Thanks for stopping by and taking the time to listen. We've prayed that this podcast channel blesses and encourages the Village family. So lean in with an open heart, eager to grow, and enjoy the episode.
So, as Brennan has already said, we're in the last part of our book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, and it's entitled Final Greetings. So if you want to go there, it will come up behind me as well. But this is where Paul gets personal, and we're going to read from verse 7 through to 19 of Colossians chapter 4. And this is what he writes, and he says, Tychius will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is also called Justice, sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, in other words, from this church, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you. Amazing that, eh? We've just heard Aaron wrestling in prayer for someone. Wrestling in prayer for you so that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I'll vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and at Hierapolis. I think Hierapolis, yep. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Now, it's interesting that in this greeting, he mentions 10 individuals by name. Individuals who have not just had a bearing on his life and on his ministry, but those who've also helped him in the advancement of God's kingdom. And so he refers to them as a dear brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord, a fellow prisoner, a dear friend. And all of these terms speak about relationships. They speak about teamwork and they speak about partnership. And so this morning, I want to use this text to speak about partnerships in the gospel. And we want to look at two different types of partnerships that we see in Scripture. Local church partnership as well as translocal partnership. And by translocal, I'm talking about partnership beyond the local church, but always done through the local church. All right? And so we want to look at those two partnerships. And I know I've only got 25 minutes or whatever it is, 30 minutes at a squeeze, to be able to share something that is so vast. But I want to do my best just to give you an overview and some biblical understanding of what it means to partner together local church-wise as well as to partner outside of the local church, but doing it through the local church. All right, you with me? Okay, so let's look at these in turn. Firstly, local church partnership. Now, for me, there are three components to local church partnership. In other words, to us partnering together in the local church, here at the Village Church. And the first one is relationships, because there can be no partnership without relationship. Would you agree? And the relationship I'm talking about here is not just surface relationship or superficial relationship, but actually I'm talking about real relationship, meaningful relationship. The kind of relationship that Paul talks about when he says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And if we understand something of the church, then I'm sure you would agree with me that the church is not a building. Hey? The church is not an organization. The church is not a social club. But the church is the family of God. People who are not only connected to God and who have a love for God, but a people who also have a love for each other. That's the local church. And that's something that God wants to continually grow us in. Yes, our love and our relationship with Him, but also our love and our relationships and our connections with each other. It's a picture of the cross, isn't it? There's the vertical, our relationship with God, but let's never forget about the horizontal, our relationships, deep, meaningful, covenantal relationships with one another. And that is something, my friends, we have to all work at, eh? Every one of us. When we look around here, we see a lot of people that we don't know. And that's okay. But I trust that in a week, in 6 weeks, in 6 months, you will know them a little better. Why? Because of this value of relationships. Paul puts it like this in Ephesians 2:19. We're told that we are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. That's what we are. And if relationships, and I'm talking again, the covenantal relationships have to be at the heart of the local church, where there is a commitment, and may I say even more than just a commitment, but a devotion to one another. A devotion to one another and therefore to this Greek word kinonia, which means fellowship. A devotion to it. Not a casual acceptance of it, not a visitation of it. No, a deep connection, a deep commitment and devotion to it. And so it's our relationships that enable us to genuinely support each other, to help each other move when we need to move house. It's our relationships that enable us to build one another up, to carry each other's burdens, to be there for one another, to sharpen each other, to challenge each other, to hold each other accountable. That cannot happen without relationships. Amen? In fact, it's all the one another's that Scripture speaks about for us to give ourselves to those things. And let me remind you that God puts us together because we need each other. Don't ever think you are not in need of someone. Doesn't Paul talk about that? 1 Corinthians 12. Don't let the ear say, I have no need for the eye. And it's the same, and he's using that as an analogy for the body of Christ. And not only do we need each other, but the truth is together we are more effective. We can do some things on our own, some things in our family, some things in our life groups, all good, but we can do a whole lot more when we're willing to do it together. When we're willing to put our shoulder to the wheel of what God's called this church to. When we truly are willing to put our hand to the plow, not just in our relationship with God and what He's called us personally to do, but also what He's called us corporately to do. That we put our hands up and we say, here we are, Lord. Use us, send us, do with us as you please. And that's why we've never been called to a private faith, but rather to a faith that is lived out in community. The understanding of deep, meaningful relationships. And again, that's why I say isolating ourselves or thinking that we can do church on our own only plays into the enemy's hands. Eh? Why? Because it's not the church that Jesus is building. It's a relational church with deep, meaningful relationships where we don't see each other just as fellow parishioners. No, we see each other as brothers and sisters that are working together, loving together, serving together, advancing the kingdom together. Amen. The second component when it comes to local church partnership, is this thing called ownership. And again, ownership can only happen because of relationships. But by ownership, I'm talking about you and I taking ownership for the village church and for what God has called this church to. It cannot just be the elders that take ownership. It cannot just be the paid staff that take ownership of this church, but it's got to be every single person who's come up on this stage, who's been prayed and welcomed into this church. When you leave the stage, you're saying, I'm part of the ownership of this church. All right? I'm part of the DNA now of what God has called this church to. Now, of course, it's his church. So let me just clarify that when I talk about ownership. He is the head of the church. That is Jesus. He is the one building his church. But the incredible thing is he actually invites us to partner with him, to co-labor with him. But the only way we're going to do that meaningfully is if we are truly invested in what Jesus is building. And I'm not just talking about being invested in the church generally, what we would call the universal church. No, I'm talking about an investment in the local church, because that's ownership. It's where we move in our hearts from seeing the church as kind of that church to their church, where it becomes our church, but now suddenly it's my church. I've taken ownership for it. And if something's lacking, I'm available to help sort it out. If something's missing, how can I fulfill that? If there's paper on the ground, I pick it up. Why? Because it's my church. If I see someone sitting on their own, I don't ignore them. I go to them and I'll say, hi, how are you? Why? Because it's my church. And I hope if we catch the heart of this, that begins to affect how we see each other, how we build relationally with each other, but also, as I said, how we take ownership of the village church. Acts 2:42 tells us they, who are they? The believers devoted themselves to the fellowship. The fellowship. Not just fellowship with any believer anywhere, as awesome and as wonderful and as necessary as that is, but a devotion to the corporate fellowship, to the gathering of the saints, to the community of believers. There was a devotion to that. And if we're talking ownership, then I want to say there are two key ingredients when it comes to ownership. And the first one is integration. Ownership cannot happen unless there is true integration. And by integration, I'm talking about belonging. Brennan spoke about that this morning with those coming up here. Because it's not enough just to believe in what we do as a church. It's not enough just to attend our meetings. We have to belong. And there has to be reality to our belonging. And so integration is about finding your place in this wonderful family, the family of God called the Village Church. Finding your place so that you can take your place. The second ingredient is involvement. Not just integration, but involvement, which is about functioning. It's about being willing and available to play your part in the body. Yes, find it, take it, but now play it. Whatever that part is. And if you feel that there isn't a part for you, come and chat to us. Let me tell you, there are many parts that need someone to hold to and give themselves to. And so how is our ownership outworked? It's one thing to talk about it, but what are some of the realities to it? How can this become a reality? Three things quickly. Firstly is your commitment to the vision, to the values, and the ventures of the Village Church. And on the 12th of February, we're going to expound a little bit more about that. What is our vision? What is our values? What are the ventures, the things that God has called us to do? Why? So that you can take ownership of those things, whether you go on those trips or whether you're involved with those things, it doesn't matter. But there's a sense of identity. There's a sense of ownership. We believe in this and we're giving ourselves to it. It's where we are on board. All of us are on board with what God is doing and where he's taking this church. That we're not adopting a wait and see attitude. We're not spectating from a distance. No, we're committed to that which God has called the Village Church to. The second sense of ownership is in your participation. In the way that you roll your sleeves up in serving and using your gifts, both spiritual as well as natural gifts in the building up of God's church. And then thirdly, it's in your contribution. In the sowing of your time, of your talents, but also of your treasures, your resources, your finances. Why? So that TVC can take hold of everything that God has taken hold of us for. The things that he's called us to, we can be faithful in doing those things. And so authentic and genuine ownership is what builds momentum, which in turn creates impact, fruitfulness, and effectiveness as a church. Eh? And that's what God's called us to. And then the third component in partnering with the local church is this value of team, of playing team. And team is vital to the ongoing success and the effectiveness of the church. Why do I say that? Well, for the simple reason is that no one individual in the church has all the goods, has all the gifts, the abilities, and the anointings. But you know what? Together, we have most of what we need. Eh? Look around you and you'll see. You may not know them. You may not recognize them now, but I want to tell you they are here. Gifts in this house, abilities, anointings, whatever it is that God needs for this local church to partner and to operate effectively is sitting in these chairs. And if they're not in the chairs this morning, I trust they'll be here next Sunday. This is how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 1:7 when he speaks to the church in Corinth. And he says, therefore you, and if you look at it, the you is plural, eh? You, the church, do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. And so again, I want to say no one person has everything available for them to complete the task that the church is, that God has called the church to. No one person. Why? Because we all have weaknesses, eh? We all have deficiencies. But weaknesses and deficiencies that others can and need to complement us in and compensate for. Which is why I do believe that a weak team is far more effective than a strong individual. Because God values team. God works in team. And that's why the day of the one-man show in ministry, can I say, is over. It's over. Why? Because God is looking for a team effort. God is looking for the priesthood of all believers to arise and to be mobilized, where it's the nameless and the faceless that are doing what God has called them to and no longer the superstar. Amen. And so, you know, where I can allow others to operate in their gifting that is not necessarily my gifting, you know what? The team wins. This team wins. But if I'm secure, if I'm threatened, if I think I've got everything that this church needs, no one else is going to rise up. No one else is going to operate in their giftings. And you know what? We put a lid on the church. And that's true for you as much as it's for me. We need each other. In fact, I've referenced it already, 1 Corinthians 12, how Paul devotes nearly a whole chapter to this theme of one body, but it's a body made up of many different parts. And the truth of the matter is this, that when some parts are not playing their part, or maybe even refusing to play their part, you know what? The body suffers. And it suffers not only internally in terms of our relationships and our support and our commitment to each other, but it also suffers externally in terms of our effectiveness and our fruitfulness and being able to fulfill the call that God has given to us as a local church. Teamwork is what makes the dream work. Amen. It's not just a cliche. It's a reality. But you know what? Teamwork only comes about by people being team players. Being a team player as opposed to being an individualist in the life of God's church. And so there's three components. There may be more, I'm sure, but those are the three I feel God dropped in my heart as I was preparing for this morning. Our relationships, ownership, and teamwork is what's going to cause us to partner effectively in local church, where this church truly will function well, but will also be able to be effective in all that God has called us to. Amen. All right, in the last 10 minutes I have, I want to talk about the other type of partnership. And that is what I've called translocal or apostolic partnership. And this is where we're working and we're partnering beyond the local church in the advancement of God's kingdom. It's yes, where we do have a heart and we have a vision for our Jerusalem, our community, our city. But we also have a heart for our Judea, Waikato, our Samaria, North Island, New Zealand, as well as the ends of the earth, the nations of the world. And in Psalm 2 verse 8, God says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the ends of the earth as your possession. And you know what? That is God's desire for his church. But how we do that is so important, eh? Because we can achieve some things on our own as a church, but we can do a whole lot more in partnership. A whole lot more. And this is what Paul writes when he writes to the Philippians in Philippians 1, verse 3 and 5, 3 through to 5. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now. Paul was writing this from a prison in Rome. He couldn't be there. He couldn't move around. He couldn't be effective in the churches. But he knew others were in partnership with him. Others could stand in the gap. Others could be available to be used of God and to take the message, the gospel out where he couldn't go. And a bit further on in verse 12, he says, now I want you to know that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And you know, it's because God has called us to advance the gospel that we realize just how important it is to partner with others and other churches in the advancement of this gospel, of just how important it is. Because again, we can have some influence and we can have some effectiveness on our own. But you know what? We can have a far greater impact when we do it with others. When we're involved in apostolic relationships that lead to apostolic partnerships. Now, this is what we see with Paul. He was clearly apostolic. And by apostolic, I'm talking as we understand from God's word, and as you look at the Greek word, it's one who is sent, one who goes. That's what we mean by apostolic. Not one who stays, but one who goes. And he was apostolic. But he couldn't be everywhere all the time, eh? He's not the Holy Spirit. And so what he did is he raised up a team, what we might call a translocal or an apostolic team, that ministered either with him or when he was in jail, they kept doing it as they ministered into different areas, different churches, different regions, different nations around Asia Minor. And so, as I said, he couldn't be everywhere, but through these apostolic relationships, he could extend his influence into so many different regions, and the gospel could get out. And so Paul saw the world as his parish, which is so contrary to many churches. Can I say many pastors who see the parish as their world? That this is the be all and the end all. Everything is geared towards the parish, towards the local church. And we forget that actually the world is our parish, is where God has called us to go. Paul understood that. And yes, he had a great love for the local church. Absolutely. You read what he writes to those local churches. But it was never at the expense of the translocal, of that which was beyond the local church. And that's why the church may be local, but the work is translocal. It's why our ministry, it's why our influence cannot only be in the church. It cannot only be for the church. It's also got to be beyond the church. Because if we lose the translocal, you know what? We will become parochial. Try and remember that one. It does have a nice ring to it, eh? Yeah. If we lose the translocal beyond ourselves, we become parochial. And then sadly, the parish becomes our world. And friends, it's why our ministry And our influence cannot just be here at the Village Church. It's interesting what Paul writes here, and we've read it already in Colossians 4, verse 16, when he says, after this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from the Laodiceans. And so Paul was showing the Colossians that there was more than just their church, more than just their city. But no, God was working in other churches, other communities, other cities, and other nations. And it was through these relationships that there was a partnership in the gospel between these different churches. And that's why I do believe that every local church needs to be in a primary relationship with an apostolic translocal team. Every local church. And as the Village Church, we have chosen to partner with the New Covenant Ministries International Translocal Team, fondly known as NCMI. Which means then we want to be involved in what they're involved in. Not exclusively, but intentionally and deliberately. We want to be involved where doors have already been opened for us in our togetherness. Where there is work on the ground, where churches are being planted. We want to work with that which has been established, and equally we want to go and pioneer new works as God leads us. Otherwise, what happens is we'll be all over the place, running from one thing to the next, ending up being a mile wide, but only an inch deep. And we'll look at some examples of that shortly. So what is NCMI? Now, I don't have time to give you a full description or understanding of this translocal team that we as a church partner with. During our newcomers lunch, we give some time to an understanding of our relationship with the team and how that works. And if you haven't been to a newcomers lunch, well, there's a great opportunity to come and hear more about it. But my simple explanation or definition of the NCMI, New Covenant Ministries Translocal Team, is that it's an apostolic prophetic team. What do I mean by apostolic? Those who go, those who are sent out. What do I mean by prophetic? Those who see the future, who prepare to be the future so that they can become the future. All right? Apostolic prophetic team, made up of Ephesians 4 gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, that work into local churches to help, to strengthen, to encourage those churches that are in relationship with that team. Huh? All right? So that's a simple definition of it. People often say, well, we're the Village Church, we belong to New Covenant Ministries International. No, you do not belong to New Covenant Ministries International. Why? Because there is no NCMI church. There's no such thing as an NCMI church. We partner with a translocal team called NCMI. All right? And so let me give you an example of how this apostolic ministry works. And what it looks like to partner with a translocal team. And there's a great description, an example of that in Acts chapter 14. So we're going to just read these few verses, make some closing comments, and then we're done for the morning. Eh? All right, Acts 14, 21 through to 28. And it says, they preached the good news. So who was they? This was Paul and Barnabas. As they were apostolic, as there was this team and other teams operating, they preached the good news, the gospel in that city. And that's always the fruit of apostolic ministry. It's first and foremost about the gospel, preaching the good news of Jesus. And they won a large number of disciples. Again, the primary objective. Eh? We can do lots of things around the world, but primarily we're called to make disciples. Jesus made that clear. And it's not just converts, eh? It's disciples. And that takes relationship. That takes time. That takes investment. And it says, then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And so it wasn't a once-off visit that they did to these churches, to these cities. But they kept going back because there was investment there. There was ongoing relationships. They were wanting to build into those churches, not just to bless those churches. They didn't go in there and see great things happen and then forget about those churches, move on and never come back. No. There was this relationship. And so they returned, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Again, the role of the apostolic. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each city. Again, that's why we have team guys on this translocal team, NCMI, who ordain elders in this church. Because we see that's what the Bible says. Elders don't ordain elders. Apostolic team ordain elders. Why? Because they often see things that we don't always see. They're able to give perspective. They're able to meet with the couple. And then come back and potentially say, actually, have you thought about this to whoever the leader of the church is? There's something in there that you might want to address before they come on, whatever it may be. Huh? So they appoint elders with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. And then after going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they preached the word in Perga, that was what they were doing, preaching the gospel. They went down to Attalia. And from Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch. In other words, they returned to the base church from which they were sent, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. In other words, they were accountable to the local church. And yes, only Paul and Barnabas went out, but the whole church participated and the whole church celebrated in what happened. And so when Brennan and the team went to Masterton last week, they've come back, they've reported back to us as elders, they gave a brief report back here, but they didn't go, we went as the village church. They were the people on the ground. But hopefully you prayed for them, because we did pray in our Thursday meeting for them. Your finances allowed them to go, because investment. But the whole church participated. And it says, and they stayed there a long time with the disciples, which tells us then that the translocal is always rooted in the local. All right. So I've just opened that up. I mean, there's lots we could say around that. But my point is this, is that without apostolic relationships, we have denominationalism and we have organizations. Because it's through apostolic relationships that we're able to become meaningfully involved with translocal work. With discipling the nations, planting New Testament churches, impacting cities, communities, nations, whatever it is, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so let me wrap it up. Time is caught as per usual. But partnership is key to us achieving all that God has called us to. Both local church partnership, where it's all hands on deck, all involved, all participating, all adding value, as well as translocal partnerships. Knowing that we cannot achieve the Great Commission on our own, hey? We need to link arms with others. And according to Scripture, and particularly the book of Acts, the way to disciple the nations, in other words, to evangelize the world, is to plant New Testament churches in every village, in every town, in every city, and in every nation. And it's our translocal partnerships that allow for that to happen. Whether we're going physically, or whether we're praying, whether we're financing, whether we're supporting, whether we're helping in whatever way, the wonderful thing is we can all play a part in seeing this gospel advance and the world won to Jesus. Amen. I know I've said a lot and I feel like I've raced through it, but let's pray. Fathers, we've come to the end of the book of Colossians. So often I'm sure we've read those greetings, kind of thinking, you know, couldn't Paul keep some of this to himself? You know, we don't know these different people. But actually, if we go and we see what some of them did, people like Mark, people like Barnabas, others that are mentioned there, Lord, we realize that this was evidence of partnership that was happening. That Paul wasn't alone in what he was called to do, but he had others around him helping, supporting, invested in what he's doing. And Lord, that is true for us as the local church, and it is equally true of that which you've called us to beyond the local church. And so, Father, we ask that you would enlarge our thinking, enlarge the place of our tent. We ask, Lord, that you would stretch us, stretch our tent curtains wide. Help us, Lord, not to hold on to what we have or what we know. Let us not become conservative. But Lord, we ask that you would lengthen our cords, that you would strengthen our stakes. Why? Because it's your desire for us to spread out to the right and to the left, to possess and dispossess cities and nations for the kingdom. And so, Lord, we want to say thank you that you've placed us in this local church. And if you're a visitor, then the local church that God has placed you. Lord, you've put us here for such a time as this. You've put us here, Lord, because we are needed here. You've put us here, Lord, because we need those around us. But you've put us here, Lord, because you want to use us to see this church go on and reach its potential, but also so that we can do the other things that you've called us to beyond the church. And so thank you for the local church, for those of us who are so invested in what you're doing here at the Village Church. Let that grow. But oh God, let us also expand our vision, expand our heart to believe for that which you're doing outside, not only of this church, not only of this city, and not only of this nation, but in the nations of the world, where we will see your gospel advance, where we will see churches being planted so that those towns and cities and nations can be irrevocably changed through the power of your gospel. For that, we want to say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.